I want to remind you that despite all the announcements that are going on out there, every day we need to remember that this is a day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Every day that the sun comes up and we're given a new day, we can rest assured in three things: that in Him we live, move, and have our very being. Amen. And if the Lord causes the sun to rise, then we can have hope that He is going to provide on a daily basis what's needed for us to live this thing called life. Amen. So let's make sure as Christians that we hold on to our joy. Let's make sure that we hold on to our hope. And let's make sure that we live for our God-given purpose, which is that we share the gospel, we love God, we pray, and we believe in the goodness of His soon coming. Amen. And so we're going to rejoice and we're going to love God. And I just thank God that we are still able to come together and be together to worship the Lord. Amen. And so tonight, let's just worship Him and rejoice.
Amen. Stand your feet with us tonight.
What was she asking?
I count on one thing. Sing God never fails. When I fail me now, He won't fail me now. I'm waiting. Sing God is never late. It's working all things out. It's working all things out. Yes, I will let You all things.
operated in the supernatural when God touched his natural. They started fighting each other when they followed the instructions and the obedience that God set before them. They began to fight each other. So even though today it might look like you're surrounded in that situation, God has already surrounded you. And he's all around us tonight. So even though we're surrounded, we're even more surrounded by him. This is how I fight my battles. Come on tonight. This is how I fight my battles. 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 Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to do a new song today. Words are up there, and just listen to the words. Amen.
And I search the world, but it couldn't fail me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fail.
Praise you and let you know that we know there's no one like you. There's no one like you. Nobody better than you. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The I am that I am. You were, you are, and you always will be. And we just lift you up and glorify you and praise you and tell you there's nothing better than you. And we thank you that you chose us. Thank you. Hallelujah.
And clap of praise. Praise the name of the Lord in the house. Amen. Praise God. Nothing is better than Jesus. Amen.
Jesus.
Ooh.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's the truth.
Hallelujah.
That's the truth,
yes.
Right then and there.
It is the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Y'all look like you're hot tonight.
Praise God. It is a little warm in here. Amen.
But Brian did save the day for Sunday.
Amen. Yes.
I don't know how much we're going to reap today, but he did save the day and fixed it for us. So
amen.
Praise. Thank you. Brian, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the
God.
New building is cool.
Yeah, I was about to say it's.
I just want to tell you it's cool over there. We just came from there.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you what, just keep praying. There's a couple dominoes that fell a little later or falling next week that were supposed to fall this week. Not a big deal. We've built in a week for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have a week that we've built in for if delays happen and we don't get it, not this coming week, then we'll get it next week. And we're fine with that. We built in that week because your pastor is going down to New Visions Ministries in Murfreesboro, North Carolina.
Yes.
If you guys are watching, we love you.
And we're going to do a building dedication for them. Thank
Pastor
God.
Sandy Outlaw.
They started building here a while back, and God has completed their new facility, and we're going to go down and just bless that house. And I feel like we're sowing seeds for our own future. Amen.
Amen.
And it's a blessing. But
some
of those
tonight.
Details that Pastor Regina was so glad to tell you on Sunday has already shifted a little bit, so we got
it's not shifted for us yet.
Inspections that
we're believing
have moved
it's
a
not
bit.
Shifting for us.
But
amen.
Our date is still our date.
Amen.
I know our date is
amen.
Still our date. Amen. I'm
amen.
Just saying.
We're not accepting that kind of talk.
I'm just
amen.
Saying.
We're excited.
That.
We were just over there, and all the lights except for two are in the sanctuary and the stage. The lights are in the foyer, so there's no more. Temporary lights anywhere hanging in the
absolutely.
Building, which is exciting. Amen.
Yeah. And your pastor was physically doing some work today because we pulled some cables and stuff for our sound system and
amen.
All that. So I was actually, miracles do happen. I was physically working today. Amen.
He's going to be working again.
Amen. Absolutely.
Put some stuff away and try to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Clean up some stuff over there, but we're excited. As you can tell, we're getting more excited as the day comes on. We're excited that everybody gets to go over there, and we can finally call it the church.
Yeah, is it the first or the second? That's the first Saturday in August.
Well, you go the 9th.
I know. I'm not worried about that.
No, I'm saying that's the Saturday, the
first. Yeah, but the first.
So the 8th.
Saturday,
the
1st. It's the 1st.
August 2nd.
August 1st.
The first Saturday.
Yeah. And so that's August 1st.
Saturday is the 2nd. Oh, that's right, because Sunday's the 9th, so that's 7 days. I was adding up in my head right, just not the right day.
So that August 1 Saturday, that is going to be a day that we're going to try to move stuff, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So we should be able to move stuff and clean stuff and all kinds of stuff. So that,
move
so,
stuff and clean stuff
so
and all kinds of stuff.
So if
that
you
wasn't
are,
descriptive.
If you are available, that would be a Saturday that we would like for your help to be available, and we'll have some assignments over there and over here, and
we're
going to be trying to haul stuff over and all kinds of
stuff. We'll know for sure next week.
Right.
Yeah. And so that would give us 2 weeks before we actually start the first service.
Yeah.
And so it'll give us 2 weeks to move everything over, get this building cleaned up, turn it back over, and then start the new service.
Amen.
So on the 16th of August, that'd be awesome. Lord,
yes.
We thank you.
Amen.
We thank you. Have everything done.
Amen.
No more delays
Praise
in
God.
Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name. Amen. Amen. I don't think that there's many more announcements. We need, obviously, you know, we've seen
yeah, the
that there's
governor's
a mandate.
Announcement.
Amen. There's a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
There's also exceptions. And
yeah.
So we're going to, I've got mine too.
For the first time
sit down.
Since this is all done, I've been carrying my little mask around. I had to use it today. I went into a place and I had a carryout order for lunchtime. I couldn't even go get my carryout order without putting my mask on. Yeah.
So, I thought it didn't start till 6 o'clock today.
It didn't matter. This was early this afternoon. Yeah.
Well,
there's a big sign on the door that says,
"If you're frustrated,
no entry."
This is what I can say.
Without a mask, and I thought, my food I already paid for is in there.
Oh, who cares about your food? Your food's done.
Amen.
You ate it. You got it. You're fine.
I did. It was an adventure.
But if you're frustrated, this would be a good time to start praying.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a good time to start praying.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's start praying. Truth be revealed.
Yep. And let this thing be lifted off of us.
The numbers go down because COVID is gone in Jesus' name. That people be healed. That we are over this and through this. And we are looking on to new things. And believe the Lord. And I've been repenting for the sins of this nation. Like, there are some things that I've read recently that just break me to a point where I said, God, this really is a sinful nation. Like, this world is really nasty and sinful. And when you think about, are we releasing kids? Kids, go ahead. Yeah, we're going to release them. I don't want to say this in front of them.
Look at that.
Huh? Oh, you don't. I don't know how cool it is down there. What they said was
Amen.
Hot earlier. But, you know, the more I read and the more I see about the child pornography, the child sex slavery that's going on, I'm telling you, it's not the world that I thought it was. You know, we think of just our space and our and what goes on around us, and we think that nothing else happens in the world but what we see, and that's just not the truth. It's just not the truth, and we need to be praying. We need to be lifting up there. The Lord is moving. You see people getting arrested. You see things coming to light, secret things being revealed. And we're just going to pray more of it be revealed. These kids be safe. A kid should never be born into this world and not be safe.
Amen.
Not any kid. Not color, anything. Doesn't Amen. Matter. Gender or color should not matter. And so, I mean, obviously, that's just one area. And that's got me so broken for this country and this world as a whole that I've been praying about that and just saying, God, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us of our wickedness, the wickedness and the evilness that has been in this world that we've kind of, I want to say, been blinded to or turned a blind eye from. Or we've seen some of it. We've seen all these missing kids. And I pray every time I see a missing kid and stuff. But, you know, the sheer extensiveness of this thing is still yet to be seen. But I believe God's going to bring it to light, and I believe that we're going to see some more people, and God's going to clean up this nation. And so we just need to keep praying, repenting for this nation, getting on our knees.
And praying for revival.
Praying for revival.
Praying for God's Spirit to be poured out. We can never forget that we have a promise in the Bible that the Lord says that in these days, He will pour out His Spirit upon the whole earth. And I tell you what, when God pours out His Spirit, it's going to flood the earth in such a way that you're going to have to physically deny God, because you're going to be aware of His presence. Amen? And I believe we're going to see God do great things and miracles and just be who He is. And I tell you what, the church needs to be pressing into that, calling for that. I pray that each one of us are spending time praying for God to bring revival and for God's presence to be increased amidst us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, yeah. We better do offering while I'm thinking of it. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says that as we sow, we reap. Amen? And the Bible says that God says that when you give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I just want to remind you that why is sowing, why is tithing and offering so important? I tell you why. Because it allows us to take what we have in this world and attach ourselves to the kingdom of heaven. It moves us as God's children into a place where the Lord has a right to let the devil know, to let the world know, and to release His favor and grace upon us, and it attaches Him. It is a covenant where when you are releasing tithing and offering, God can see what you do. Remember, it wasn't the pastor or anybody at the time. It was Jesus who was looking over the offering and saw the widow woman with her two mites and says, hey, she's given more than all today. Because He wasn't looking at the amount she was giving. He was looking at the sincerity of the heart that says, I trust God. And I want you to know that each one of you, when you're giving, make sure that in the essence of your spirit and your heart, you're releasing what you release to say, God, I trust You. I believe in You. I've seen Your goodness. I'm expecting Your goodness. And God, I want You to know how much I appreciate what You've done in my life. Amen? Amen? So these are just a few things that as you give, they should be reflective in your faith. Amen? You should be releasing what you're releasing because the Lord and you have a relationship where you believe the gospel and you believe what He said in this area. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, tonight, God, as we release our tithes and our offerings, Father, Lord, I thank You, God, and I pray, God, that You would be looking upon us just like You did the widow woman that released her two mites, Father, and Lord, You'd see the heart in everything we do, and God, as You do, it would stir You, Father, to do as You say You would. Will do, God. Pour out blessing, rebuke the devourer, and increase the seed that we sow, Father. That's what You do, Father. Lord, I thank You that You will open doors for us. I thank you that You will close doors for us. Father, I just see right now in the supernatural realm that You are canceling debt for people, God. Father, that You are alleviating medical bills and expenses, back taxes, Father. Lord, I just see You working on the behalf of Your people, God. And Lord, You're providing for them transportation, houses, residencies, Father. Lord, You're bringing them in the places of vocations, Father, that they're called to, Father. Lord, not just a job, Father, but God, a place of work where they are going to be attached to the kingdom and to lives and the souls, Father. And Lord, I just see You doing an abundance of great things on behalf of Your people, Father. Lord, I thank You that the Bible says in one area that we give to the poor, You will raise us up off of our sickbed, God. And Father, I just see you releasing blessing into your people, Father, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Hallelujah.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can.
Carson before service, Lord, he told me of a man named Dave who had a bent finger that was giving him much pain. And Father, I just pray healing over that right now, God. Lord, I just loose the working of miracles and healing, Father. And Lord, I pray that, God, this man would be healed and would be a witness to young Carson to see the goodness of God, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Is there anybody here who's sick or right now you know someone who's sick that you'd like prayed for? Anybody? Okay. Is he? Okay, what's his first name? Sean, that's right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for Sean right now, Father. Lord, that this procedure done on his neck, Father, Lord, that right now you would heal this thing, remove pain and restriction. God, let it go beyond even what they thought as far as mobility and the removal of pain, Father. Lord, let him be healed and strong and come back to full, even a more fuller capacity than he was even thinking, Lord, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Is there anybody else that has somebody that you know? Huh? Yes. Okay. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put Judy before you right now, God. And Father, we curse this mass, God. And God, even what they've seen in the pancreas in this kidney, God, we just curse it, and God, we command all of this to come out of her in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I thank you that the doctors will see and know, God, and any procedure done for Judy, Father, would bring her to a point of healing. And Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, I tell you what. We are going to be talking about. We are going to be talking about being led of the Spirit, or in other words, hearing God's voice. Amen. And we're going to talk about this over the next couple weeks. But before we get there, I just want to remind you of something that is said in Romans chapter 5. It says in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, what I want to remind each and every one of you is that before you were saved, okay, we were without strength. But now that we have been saved, whether you believe it or not, if you would recognize it, you are not the same person that you used to be. You now have a foundation of strength because you now have the supernatural Spirit of the Lord inside of you. You are a new creature. Now, the Bible says that when the Lord saves us, He sanctifies us, spirit, soul, and body. I want to remind you that sometimes we even believe that we can still be carnal or fleshy, but yet David, even before Christ came, he wrote a psalm that says, even my flesh cries out for you. And I want you to know something, that now that you're saved, your body should be in unity with your spirit and your soul. And I tell you what, that you should be stirred about the things of God. I'll tell you, sometimes I'll go on vacation or we'll be away from church, and I got to tell you something, that whether I'm preaching or not is not what I'm so excited about. I'll tell you what, I just start getting excited about being back in the house of God. And I have come to recognize that even though faith, as we teach it, is not emotional and it's not a feeling and all of this, it doesn't change the fact that when your spirit is refreshed and when you're standing strong, there is a joy, there's a happiness, there's a peace, there's something that comes upon us, and it's not wrong for us to be excited or joyful about the Spirit of the Lord being in control of our life. Amen? But I want you to know that the Lord sanctifies us wholly. In other words, our Lord in heaven expects to have an impact on all phases of your life. Uh-oh. You know, that's why the Bible says that once we're saved, we have to be angry and sin not. That means that even when you are frustrated and angry, it is not an open book for you to go off cussing, fussing, throwing stuff, and saying anything that wants to come out of your yapper at that time. I want you to know that as a Christian, you have to fight yourself, and you have to make sure that the Spirit of God rules your spirit. You have to make sure that you have the gifts, not only the gifts of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, but do you know that the Bible says that there are aspects of your nature that should be changed when you're saved? It's something called the fruit of the Spirit, amen? And one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance. What that means is that temperance says that no matter what, there are guidelines that I keep around myself, that no matter what, I will not allow myself to cross over certain guidelines. Amen? In other words, even if I have someone that I have a disagreement with, there should be an arena of love that governs my conversation, my attitude, and where I will allow someone else to take me emotionally. Oh, come on. Boy, we're digging in there a little bit now. Woo! Oh, we're digging in there a little bit. I'm going to say it again. Because of the fruit of the Spirit, temperance, that's on my life, there are places in the realms of emotions, whether it be anger, whether it would be discouragement, disappointment, there are places where I will not allow someone to take me to because I'm governed by the love of God. Amen? Amen? In other words, I want you to know that the most important influence in your life and who you should side with, even if people are coming against you, even if people are saying, I can't stand you, I don't like you, you get on my nerves, I hate you, I think you're worthless, I don't think you're ever going to amount to anything. Even though those words have come out of the mouth of people towards us, there is a voice that has said, I love you, you're my child, and I have made you for a purpose. And that voice of God has got to govern us beyond any other thing that we see or hear. Amen? I want you to know something, that even if life disappoints us and people sometimes disappoint us and things don't work out the way we thought, and sometimes there's relationship issues, there's work issues, there's just agreements and things that don't happen, and people aren't always truthful and trustworthy, and sometimes we get deceived and we can have bad experiences with people, but what should govern us beyond that is, God, you'll make this right. Oh, amen. Woo! See, before I get into the rest of this teaching for tonight, I want to remind you that the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I promise you that if you ever get disappointed by the way things work out with man or the way things work out with humanity or don't work out, sometimes as Christians, we've got to come to that place where we put it in the hands of God and we say, Father, I'm going to trust you with this. Amen? Woo! Praise the name of the Lord. And I want you to know something as Christians, that when you were made brand new by God, there is a sovereign relationship that has come upon you. It's called the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I want you to be reminded that in 1 John 2:20, the Bible says you have an unction or an anointing or a presence on you from the Holy One who will reveal to you all things. Amen? In other words, God wants to be a part of speaking right to your life. Amen? I want you to know something. God doesn't speak to me more than he speaks to you because I'm a pastor. Amen? I want you to know something, that I don't, because I'm a pastor, get some special privilege where I get to do things different than you. I want you to know every one of us is accountable to walking out our salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? And I want each and every one of us to know this and to know that there is an arena of God that we must attach ourselves to and know that God is a part of who we are and wants to be leading us every day. It says in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. I want to preference this with something. This scripture says, therefore, brethren. So in this scripture, we're not talking to the sinner. We're not talking to the unsaved. I want you to know that this scripture is talking to you as the believer, and this scripture is telling us that we can no longer live after the flesh. In other words, when we are saved and when salvation comes upon us, it is not a covering whereby we think, now I can do anything I want, I can act any way I want to, because I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm on my way to heaven no matter what, so I can do this, and it's all covered by the grace of God. I want you to stop this polluted thinking and start recognizing that the Spirit of God came upon you, not so you could live after the flesh, but that you would live after the Spirit. And there is a pursuit that should be going on in the Christian's life. Not that we're ever going to wake up one day and say, woo, I've achieved it all. I've achieved utopia or euphoria or maximum glory, whatever it is. We're never going to wake up and say, hey, I've achieved it all. I've arrived. I'm perfect. But we should be able to look at our life as a Christian and see changes from glory to glory, from when I was immature to where now I'm mature. And there should be things that break off of us, and there should be things that we leave in our past that do not keep attached to our future. Amen? Why is this important? Because the more we can receive spiritually, the more we can fulfill purpose. You know, if I'm not just trying to keep myself from being drunk, if I'm not just trying to keep myself from out of the bar, guess what? I could be healed enough to help lead somebody else out. Woo! Praise the name of the Lord. Amen? So I want to show you something here tonight, because it says that we do not live after flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. Remember, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's why as a Christian, we want to minimize sinful activities in our life, and we also want to repent when we find ourselves in sin. I want you to know something. Sometimes a Christian is going to find themselves in situations or having done actions that are revealed to them to be sinful and wrong. And when the Lord convicts us, it's not a time for us to be condemned and paralyzed to the point where we say, oh no, God can't love me now, blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. It is a place where we should take authority and say, Lord, this is wrong, forgive me. And we should rise up and learn scripturally how to make sure that we don't fall back into those patterns and those sinful behaviors. Amen? Remember, even the woman that was caught in adultery, and at the time Jesus was ministering to her under the law, when people were caught in the act of adultery, guess what? They used to put them to death immediately. But when the Lord found out this situation, he held fast to a profession of asking everyone around there that if they had ever been without sin. In other words, even when we find a brother or sister in wrong, our goal should not be to destroy them or tear them down, but our goal should be to help them, build them up, and bring them out. Because Jesus looked at this woman and said, is anybody else here left that's accusing you? She said, no. And he said, neither do I accuse you. And he sent her on his way. But did he send her on her way without requirements? Oh, no. He says, okay, get up from this situation. Wipe yourself off. I have forgiven you. Put it in your past. But don't you dare do it anymore. He said, go and sin no more. In other words, he says, now you're on a different path. You've been forgiven. Now protect your future and don't go back to things that I've called you out of. Amen? Woo! And I just want to say this all to us because we're going to step into some things here that I really think are for us, because it says in the very next scripture, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if you study that out, in this case, that word sons of God actually means children or mankind. So it is talking about both men and women being children of God and us being able to have a relationship with him. Amen? And it says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with God. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, what I really want to concentrate on tonight is that it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I want you to know that the Bible says this, that the Lord will speak to us in dreams, visions, but it also says that the Lord speaks to us in a still, quiet voice. Amen? Woo. I want you to know that sometimes, Christians, you have got to understand, not just sometimes, it should be a regular, normal process for us to understand that God is and will speak to us. If you're saved, God is speaking. And I want you to know something, that the majority of time that God speaks to us, it is going to be that still, quiet voice that says something, and we recognize, okay, that's not me thinking, that's God speaking. And what we're going to start looking at is, how do I know when God is speaking to me? Well, I want you to know something, that the Bible does say this. The Bible says that there are many voices in the world and none of them without significance. But Jesus said this, my sheep will hear my voice and they will know my voice. Hallelujah. I want you to know that when I was in Africa, I found out that a lion can hear the voice of the lioness that are part of his pride from 5 miles away. Wow. Woo! It reminds me of being in the mall at Christmas time. You can have 1,000 people shopping all around you. You can have confusion going on. But when I hear, Phil, it doesn't matter how many voices are around. There's a voice I know that I'm going to. Amen. I can hear Miss Regina's voice. It don't matter how many people are around. I hear, Phil. But what I want you to know is that if we as people can hear the voice of those who we love. Just like, have you ever noticed that you can hear a baby start crying downstairs and all of a sudden you see Logan or whoever, Jared, they get up and go. It's like, how in the world can you have 15, 20, 30 crying babies and one cry, mama or papa can hear that voice and know? Now, I want you to understand something. That if you, in your humanity, can begin to recognize the voice of a spouse, a child, a friend, or those who are close to you, I want you to know that in the spirit realm, your spirit can recognize the voice of God. And I also want you to know this. That you have to make the conscious choice of how much you're going to allow God to be involved in what you do. I want you to know something, that just a couple weeks ago, I was going to go to a store. And I thought, well, as soon as we get done with this, I'm going to go in the morning. And the Lord said, no, wait. And I said, just to go to the store, God? And so I waited and I thought I was going to go at another time. Well, that time left me, and before I knew it, it was past that time. And all of a sudden, I felt like the Lord said, hey, go now. You know what was interesting about that? As soon as I got to the store, there was a person there that had been on my heart that I wanted to see and I wanted to talk to. And I want you to know something. I was able to witness to them and tell them, you know, I tried to come to this store 3 times today. And I also want you to know that I haven't been in this particular store in months. And I certainly haven't been in this store at this time. Usually I go earlier or later in the evening. I'm here right now because God has given you and I a divine appointment. And we prayed and tears came and the goodness of God came. So what I want you to know as children of God is that you have to begin to practice hearing God's voice, because you can develop a deeper relationship with him based upon your willingness to be obedient. Do you remember there was a young prophet by the name of Samuel? And Samuel's mother gave him up to be raised in the school of the prophets when he was just a little boy. And at the time, there's a man named Eli that was the prophet in charge that was training people and stuff. And Samuel came out of his room and thought Eli called him. And Eli said, hey, I didn't call you. He said, let me tell you something. This is God speaking to you. He said, now go back in there. And when you hear your name called, say, yes, Lord, I'm here. And I want you to understand something, people. You are getting messages from the Lord that's coming into your spirit, that's coming into your heart, and you have to be willing to govern that and accept that God is speaking to you and act upon what God is saying. God will govern your relationships. God will govern in your finances. And definitely, God will govern you and how to be led by his spirit and how to do purposes that he gives us. Amen? I want to remind you in the book of Acts that there's a man by the name of Ananias. And it says that Ananias was a certain disciple. And what's really clear about that is that even though we don't hear about Ananias at any other place, when we hear that Ananias was a certain disciple, what that gives credit to is that Ananias was truly saved. Ananias was truly filled with God, and Ananias was living as a Christian and living for him. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, I need you to go over to this house, and you're going to see my servant Saul, who is now Paul. I need you to pray for him, and he's going to receive the Holy Ghost, and blindness is going to leave his life. What was powerful about that is Ananias thought just like you and I did. He said, Lord, hey, this is the guy that's been killing Christians. And I tell you what, sometimes when the Lord directs us, whether it's fear or intimidation, we can hesitate. We might be at Walmart and the Lord will say, hey, go pray for that person or go talk to them. Or, hey, call that friend of yours, Rick, that you used to talk to all the time. You ain't talked to him in 3 years. Give him a call and check on him.
Oh, I ain't talked to Rick in 3 years. I ain't calling him.
No. We have to be open to these things, because that first step will lead to the next step, and you're going to see God do something. And thank goodness that Ananias got beyond himself. And he said, okay, even though this doesn't look smart, even though it really doesn't make sense and this guy's been killing Christians, if you tell me that he's a brother and you want me to go pay for him, I'm going to go. And thank God Ananias went and had a miracle experience, because not only did he pray for Paul, but Paul got his eyes healed. Paul got filled with the Holy Ghost, and we know the rest of the story of Paul. Can you imagine Ananias for the rest of his life got to live with the understanding that because he heard God, he helped us receive the writing of the Word of God that we now live by today. Amen? And so what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks is, how do I get led by the Spirit? And how can I recognize God when he's speaking to me? Well, first of all, I want you to know something. God is not going to speak something to you that's in opposition to the will of God. God's not going to speak something to you that is not in his word. In other words, I couldn't have a man by the name of Fred that gets on my nerves every day at work and hear a voice say, go in there and sock Fred in the mouth. Knock his teeth out. If his teeth come out, you can pray for him later to be healed and put back in. But go in there and just knock Fred out. He's been on your nerves the last few weeks. Let me tell you something. Just by the fact that the Lord says, I pray for my enemies, and I love my brother, and I treat my brother as I would treat myself, those guidelines alone would make me hear, okay, that's one of those voices in the world that has significance, but it ain't God's voice. Just like this, if I had a fight with Sister Sally Sue and we were arguing and mad and fighting around, and all of a sudden a voice said to me, just forget Sister Sally Sue. You don't got to forgive her. Just forget about it. That's just ridiculous. I got to tell you something, that I would know that that's not one of those voices. But if I heard a voice that said, hey, why don't you talk to Sally Sue and tell her that you apologize for how your conversation went wrong. Why don't you talk to Sally Sue and say, hey, please forgive me for letting my emotions and my lack of temperance get the better of me today. Then all of a sudden, guess what? We could see in the Bible where that voice lines up with God. Amen? So I want you to know something, that when you're led of the Spirit of God, first of all, one of the ways you're going to know it's God is that he's always going to be leading you to do something that coincides with the will of God. And he's also going to lead you at times to do things that are uncomfortable, but they're always going to be leading you to a moment where God could receive glory by what you do or what you say. Amen? Amen. And the Lord is going to tell you who you are. The Lord is going to speak to you about callings, giftings, about things that you can do. And God is going to reveal himself to you and reveal yourself to him and declare into your life who you are. Amen? So I really want us to get our spirits open and our hearts open. We're going to be talking about how to hear from God and be led by his spirit. And one thing that should bring us to is that how are we going to know God? And how are we going to know what he expects of us? We've got to have the word in us. The more word you have in you, the more clear you can hear God. The more you pray, the more clear you can hear God. Remember, the Lord says, if you seek me, I will be found. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we look into hearing you, God, and when we read and look into being led of your spirit, Lord, I thank you that in the mighty name of Jesus, you are going to reveal yourself to us, God. You are going to be found. We're going to discover you, God, and you are going to reveal things to us about ourselves and about others, God, and you're going to show us how to be led of your spirit, God. Lord, so we can declare that we are your children, that we do belong to you. And God, the Bible says that when we're willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land, Father. You're going to show us and direct us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for Amy and her family, Father, that as they travel, they will be safe, God. God, that they will reach their destination and return safely, Father. And Lord, you're just going to provide for them, God. And God, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And God, right now, I pray for Karen's cousin, Father. Father, I pray, God, over this condition. I curse this thing. I command it to come out of her in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for her and this life in her to be protected, God. And, Father, I just thank you that supernaturally you bring her through this, healed, restored. And, God, you would protect this child, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Father, I just thank you for blessing us, God. For keeping us, Father. Lord, I thank you that in the middle of the world and all that's going on around about us, God, that you are our God, Father, and that we live in the habitation of who you are, Father. Therefore, we will overcome the world, Father, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here tonight, and God bless you.